but one of the things I think you probably do it here, it's pretty much a custom in Mennonite churches. One of the expectations or questions you answer in the council service is, are you at peace with your brother? And another aspect of that is, are you open to the brotherly address, or are you willing for others' input from the brotherhood into your life? And I was pondering the passages in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 18. There's two passages that tell us to go to our brother, and for two maybe different purposes, but this teaching, or what I plan to bring here this morning, maybe isn't, I don't feel like I have a very complicated message to bring. God's word is God's truth is simple, but although God's word is clear, that doesn't mean it's easy always. It's hard on our flesh to follow. At least I find it in that way in my own life, and maybe I observe it in others as well as we walk through life. Go to your brother. What does it mean to go to your brother? You may open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 21 to 26. And then we're going to flip over to Matthew chapter 18 and read a number of verses there. Matthew 5, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. You can just leave your fingers in there at Matthew 5. We'll be back and flipping between these two passages as our text this morning. Matthew 18, verse 15 to verse 22. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on any on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Go to your brother. So we see in Matthew 5, we're told that in verse 24, it tells us to go and be reconciled. And in Matthew 18 and verse 15, it says, go and tell him his fault. So two different viewpoints or two different perspectives, but I'm thinking about the action of going this morning. In both cases, we're told to go. You are told to go. I am told to go to my brother. That is the who. Whose responsibility is it to go? And in Matthew 18, it tells us, if our brother does not hear us or if the matter cannot be resolved, then you take another brother with you and go again. And if that doesn't resolve it with two or three, then it says tell it to the church. And I remember when I was ordained, and they have this thing called orientation, and one of the things we as ministers agree on is that we will not act on a matter from the mouth of one witness. We have to hear it from two or three. And I believe that's an attempt to listen to this teaching here from Matthew chapter 18. When to go. Now, we have two different whens here, and they're sort of in contrast, they're sort of in opposite sides of the coin. We're to go in Matthew chapter 5 when we know that our brother has something against us. When you know your brother has an accusation against you. And for an example of those accusations, I believe, is in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 5. It talks about this anger we can have among brothers. It talks about speaking contemptuously, saying reka, or calling your brother an idiot or a fool. Now, that's the one when. When you know that your brother is not at peace with you, you are commanded to go to your brother. The other when to go is when your brother has sinned against you or wronged you. Matthew 18, verse 15. When your brother has trespassed against you. When to go before you bring your gift, before you bring your offering to the altar. And we could have a discussion here what it's talking about in verse 24. But it says, leave your gift there and go be reconciled. And I'll just say this. Whatever good you are trying to accomplish in life will be quickly marred by a broken relationship or broken interpersonal relationships. Somehow those broken relationships have a way of defining who we are, and I believe that's one of the reasons why we have this command, go and be reconciled. What would happen if in Matthew 5, if I know my brother has an offense against me, and I decide I'm going to go, what would happen if I'd meet him halfway and he's coming to me? What would happen if we would be meeting in the middle because he felt like I wronged him? And I wish maybe that would happen more often, because this teaching in Matthew 5 is so contrary, because we think that, well, if he has something against me, he should come talk to me about it. But that's not actually what Matthew 5 says. It says, if I know he has something against me, I should go and take the first step and go talk to him. Contradictory to what so many times we do, or I do. Purposes of going. Why should I go to my brother? Matthew 5, in that passage, it tells us it is for reconciliation. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Verse 24. And I've often marveled at this verse when I read it, because it doesn't say, first try to be reconciled to thy brother. And I think it's one of those commands of Scripture that, you know, the command to be perfect or be holy, and you just read it and you're like, how? But it says, go and be reconciled, leaving or strongly suggesting that to not be reconciled is not an option, and that reconciliation is possible by the power of God. Purposes of going, Matthew 18 tells us in verse 15. Sorry, I'm just flipping back and forth and comparing these passages. If your brother hears you, you have gained your brother. I titled that or called that restoration. So we have reconciliation and restoration. I think that would go along with Galatians 6, verse 1, where it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Another purpose of going to my brother is peace. Think of the verse in Romans 12, verse 18, where it says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I ask myself the question, how much peace is inside of me? How much peace is lying within me? And where does peace come from? Who is the author of peace? Who is the prince of peace? How much peace should be inside of me, and how should that be springing out into my relationships and into my reconciliation and restoration with my brother if I'm at odds with him? Another purpose of going we find in 18, verse 17, and it tells us if this process of taking two or three brothers with us does not work, and then we tell it to the church, and the brother does not hear from a larger group of brothers, I believe we have the responsibility as a church. It says, let him be as a heathen man and a publican. And finally, the church has a purpose or a responsibility to remove members from the church if there is not an openness there, if there's not a willingness. I want to think next about attitudes of this journey to my brother. Attitudes or attributes of the journey to my brother. If you turn there to Matthew 18, and we'll read the first four verses, or 2 to 4 of Matthew 18. The first attitude I wrote down, if I need to go to my brother, if there is something between us, the first attitude I wrote down is humility as a requirement to go. Verse 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus used this teaching to teach humility. And as you observe little children, they are used to correction, right? What about us as adults? Are we okay with being corrected? Are we humble enough to receive correction? Because one of the things is, when you go to your brother, when I go to my brother, maybe I'm the one that needs correction. Maybe I'm the one that's not seeing the situation correctly. Maybe that's one of the fears. Well, I don't want to go if I know my brother has an offense against me, because I don't want to be on the receiving end of that correction. Humility is one of the attributes, one of the attitudes necessary to take this journey to my brother. Quickly, that's another word I wrote down here. And I saw that in chapter 5, verse 25. It tells us to agree with an adversary quickly. Now, sometimes maybe our adversary or the one that has something against us is our brother. And it says, agree with him quickly. Don't delay. Don't put off this journey until tomorrow. Take care of it. Take care of our relationships. Take care of our offenses. Another attribute of the journey is alone. Go and tell him alone. This one, I believe we as humans stumble on because our tendency and our temptation is to tell somebody else. Matthew 18 is clear. If thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him alone. And it doesn't say tell two or three other brothers on the way about your grievance. The only person you're scripturally allowed to talk to is your brother. And until you have done that and he hasn't listened to you, then you're allowed to tell one or two more and take them with you. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. 18:18, Proverbs 18:18, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 26, verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Alone? Am I willing to be vulnerable with my brother? Another attribute I wrote down is grace. In order for me to go to my brother, in order for me to have these frank conversations, my life needs to be full of grace from God. I think of the words of Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Part of this grace is just letting go of the need to protect myself, letting go of the need to serve my own interests, and to lovingly serve my brother. As I was studying these verses and pondering them, I wrote down another point, and I wrote down the fear of going, or common excuses. And the only way I can share these is probably because they've been there in my own life. A note from Matthew chapter 18, and one of the fears of going maybe comes because of going for the wrong reasons. Let's just say that. Or going for a selfish reason. Maybe I'm going because I find some for delight in correcting my brother. I probably observed people like that already too. It just seems like it's a joy to always be finding fault or criticizing. I'll note from Matthew chapter 18 that forgiveness should have already happened before I go. It's interesting, Jesus' teaching and Peter's question here in verses 21 and 22, how often shall I forgive my brother? But gives the idea forgiveness should happen quickly. And forgiveness should happen again and again, even if the offenses keep happening. And love should take the place of enmity in our hearts. Love should cover a multitude of sins, but it should not overlook or excuse them. And it's good for us to consider the cost of love. What did it cost Jesus to love me? What did it cost Jesus to stand before Pilate and to receive the treatment as we studied this morning? Fear of going. Maybe because we're going for the wrong reason. Maybe because there's not that forgiveness that has taken place in our heart. another fear of going is the fear of confrontation. Some of us just don't like healthy confrontation, don't like any confrontation. It's just easier to be passive. It's easier to just let it go. Another fear of going, it will disturb the peace, or it will not be taken well, it will not be received. And I think we get confused sometimes of what peace actually is, maybe. If your brother has offended you, has the peace been disturbed or not? And ignoring the offense or the need in a brother's life, is that peace? Is just ignoring, does that bring peace? Maybe it brings a counterfeit peace, but I question whether it's genuine, because peace is not the absence of conflict, it's God's presence in the midst of it. And so I say there's no peace in pretending there's no conflict, if there is. I'm not saying we should make conflict if there isn't. Another fear of going is my brother will not hear me, and that can be a very real fear. But yet, in Matthew 18, it just simply tells us what to do in that situation as well. It says, take two or three more and keep trying. I don't have time for this. That's another excuse I can use. I don't have time to deal with this. I have a busy schedule this week, and then this comes up, and I don't have time to deal with this messy relationship. Yes, we all know relationships take time. But what is important? What are we taking with us to eternity? Another excuse I've used is, well, someone else surely saw the same offense or transgression or problem, and if I just sit back, surely they'll take care of it. There's another brother that, you know, will take care of it for me. Maybe they will, but does that let me off the hook? And sometimes I know when I've been on the receiving end of this and I've done something that I should have been rebuked for or whatever, it's good for me to hear from two or three unrelated brothers and to know that this isn't just what one brother is thinking. And so take courage and go talk. And another one, the last one I wrote down here, is I will just forgive my brother and move on. And again, I reiterate that it's good and necessary. We need to forgive, and forgiveness should have already happened. But it doesn't negate the command to go. To confront in a healthy way, to dig deeper into relationships, to help your brother if he needs your help. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend or of his brother. I'm going to read in closing Matthew 18, verses 10 to 14. I just want to remind us that the same power it takes to win a soul to Christ is the same power it is necessary to reconcile brothers. If there's someone here that is at enmity with someone this morning, don't expect to be effective in winning others for Christ if there's struggles here. If there's struggles between you and someone else, because it's the same power. You can't do the first and not the second. Verse 10 of Matthew 18. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Now remember, I read in verses 2 to 4 that the little ones are the humble ones. Take heed that you despise not one of these little children, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 brothers, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that brother than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, if you were following with me, you noticed I substituted a word there on purpose to bring a point. My question is, are you on the road to find your lost brother? Let's kneel for prayer. Father eternal, thank you for this assembly here this morning. Thank you that we can gather together to worship you. Thank you for the brothers and sisters at Sharksville and the faithful testimony that goes forth from here. Help us, Lord, to be dedicated to your word, to living out your word the best we can. Help us to be a shining light in this dark world. Father, I just pray that we would be committed to good relationships among brothers. Father, thank you for what your Son Jesus has done for us to make this possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
O Master, let me walk with thee. 903.